All right, thanks, Drew. Good morning. Let's turn on over in our Bibles to James. And for those who weren't here last week, you guys are going to have me in the Sunday school for a little while. I'm not sure exactly how long. I jokingly said I should go through one chapter a week. So, I mean, about 5 weeks total. Sound pretty good with you guys? Amen. Hey, man, okay. I know we have a sleepy crowd today, though, so tough crowd. James chapter 1. And this thing is, hopefully this is easy for everybody to see and I don't knock it over. We're going to just read through all of chapter 1. And we're going to get through a whopping part of probably just the first verse. Because I'm still trying to establish which James, I think, wrote the book of James. And then we'll kind of talk about James a little bit. And I'll kind of explain maybe just the character of James. And we're not going to get very far. So let's start in James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that it may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life with which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to death, or to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruit among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself, has gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Ooh, that was a marathon. Okay. So we're going to talk about the different James. James 1:1. Just says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a few different James, and so I just want to spend a little time on this because, you know, I mentioned this last week, but whenever I started looking into James and, you know, who wrote it, when was it written, why was it written, who was it written to, almost everybody can disagree on all of those things. Almost everybody. Except, I guess there's a few that you know, I don't want to go into that too much, but pretty much everybody is just totally changing stuff, you know. James the Less is the brother of Jesus. Well, that's because, you know, son of Alphaeus. Alphaeus doesn't mean Alphaeus. Alphaeus is this person. You know, Joanna means Salome. I mean, there's so many. Everybody starts mixing names around really fast when you look at a lot of what scholars or people's opinions might be. And so it kind of can be daunting almost to some extent. And, you know, sometimes we lose that familiarity with just people of the Bible. You know, we can just read over somebody, oh, James, the brother of Jesus. Okay, Jesus had a brother named James. Keep reading. Right? But I kind of want to slow down and to just take a look at some of these people for the sake of, you know, taking some time to look at while I'm here. And in the process of doing that, looking at these different James, hopefully we can narrow down which James wrote the book of James. Because he doesn't specify. And I think, just by way of opening, James is a really humble guy. And being that I would say he's the brother of Jesus, all he does, the way he opens, he doesn't say, hey, I'm James writing this to you, you know, you Christians, and I am, you know, I'm the brother of Jesus the guy. You know, he doesn't say that. He just says, James, bondservant of God and Jesus. And we'll kind of cover that too. We'll look at bondservant too. But first I want to cover which James it was. I mentioned the James last week, but I know it can be hard to keep track of everything when I'm just counting the James on my fingers. So, I'm going to write them down. This is going to get... I feel like I'm back in math class. Okay, so this is where, if I could get participation in the sleeping giant of a crowd. What are the different James that we could name off?
James, the brother of John.
And he's the son of?
The son of Zebedee.
The son of Alphaeus.
He's the
apostle.
Okay, we got the two apostles down. James, son of Alphaeus, and James, son of Zebedee, right? Brother of John. I don't know if this is necessarily true, but it seems pretty true from what I've read. They don't have last names. So if you want to refer to somebody, you just say son of so-and-so, right? James, son of Zebedee, James, son of Alphaeus. So I'm going to write those two down. There's actually one. Let's go in our Bibles to Acts chapter 1, please. And we got a few of them named right here. There's another James that is made reference to once or twice. Actually, twice. And he's just the father of an apostle. Acts chapter 1, verse 13. This is the disciples of Jesus. When they entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is Peter and John, and James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. So, I kind of made reference to this, how a lot of names can get really confusing because a lot of people seem to have the same names over and over again, right? So, this is not any news. We're not expecting any children soon. Morgan and I are not, okay? So don't get too excited. But we were looking at baby names, and we were like, oh, what, I really like this name, but this is a really common name. So, you know, we'll probably name it something different. Oh, I really like this name too, you know, but it's a really common name, and we don't want to get confused with, you know, Uncle Aiden, or, you know, we don't want to get... So, again, names, back in the context of what you're going to read in here, a lot of names will be reused several times for different people. And there were, from what I've seen, two Simons of the apostles. There were six people with the same names. Okay, we got two Simons, two Judases, and two James. Yeah. So a lot of people just had the same name over and over again. You know, it might get a little confusing. James, son of Alphaeus. James, son of Zebedee. Okay. But here we got one guy who kind of sneaks in. And that's why I'm just, we're not really going to spend any time on him. James, father of Judas, an apostle. And that's not Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot's gone. Okay? So yeah, he's just, we're going to just, on our trek to narrowing down who's the author of James, I'm just going to take James, father of Judas, out. Because there's really no, he's not really significant in anything. I mean, he's not going to be the type of guy that's going to write a letter and people are going to be like, yeah, that's James, the father of Judas. You know, there's no significance to that guy. Okay, we got two apostles though. James, son of Zebedee. Now, Jesus nicknames them something. We have James and John. And they have a nickname. They're sons of Zebedee, but they have a nickname. Sons of Thunder, right? And then there's a scenario where they get all fired up about Samaritans, and they're like, hey, do you want us to call down fire on these people? Right? I mean, have you met people like that? That's John, son of Zebedee. Then we got John, son of Alphaeus, another apostle. James, son of Zebedee. I can't quite say this with absolute certainty, but it's very possible he was a cousin of Jesus. And that actually, let's kind of look at that for a little bit. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 27. Remember, all these guys were Galileans, and they're all from the same area. And, you know, who is the disciple whom Jesus loved a lot? John, son of Zebedee. And who is the disciple that when Jesus is on the cross, he says, hey, behold thy mother, behold, and then mother, behold thy son? John. So Jesus actually entrusted the care of his mother to John at that point at which he's on the cross. We'll kind of talk about that a little bit, but it looks like John and James actually could be cousins of Jesus. Matthew 27, verses 55 through 56. I'm just going to name these. That's not what I'm looking for. Okay, yeah, it is. Many women, so this is again at the crucifixion. Many women were looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to him. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. So the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John, was there. And then there's Mary, the mother of James. Again, it can get really confusing. We're going to just focus on the mother, the sons of Zebedee. Okay, there are two Marys. Mary Magdalene. Mary, mother of James and Joseph. And then we have mother of sons of Zebedee. That's going to be mother of James, son of Zebedee. And then let's go to Mark chapter 15. verse 40. Again, there are also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, which, remember, Joseph is going to be the Greek version of Joseph, and then Salome. So just three women that are named again, Mary, and then Salome. Back in Matthew, we have Mary, mother of sons of Zebedee. Okay, then let's go over to John chapter 19. And we'll read verse 25. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So again, we have two Marys again. We have Mary, wife of Clopas. Yeah, we have three Marys, but one of them is Jesus' mother. We have our two Marys, Mary, wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. Those were the two that were mentioned in the last two passages we read. John adds on even Jesus' mother, which is another Mary. So we got three Marys there. that could get confusing really fast. And then we got I guess you guys can fill that in for me. I totally just lost my... his mother's sister. Yes. So we got John is specifying... And it would make sense if this is John, the son of this woman, because remember, one of the women that was there from Matthew was the mother of Zebedee. That would be John writing this, he's writing about his mom. He's saying, hey, the people at the crucifixion, there were among many women, there were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, but he'd be referring to his mom. Right? And then he mentions two other Marys. Again, I can't say that with absolute certainty because we do know that there were other women that were there, such as Joanna is another one that comes to mind. But it is very possible that James and John, sons of Zebedee, could have been cousins to Jesus. Any thoughts, comments, questions? I know it's a little confusing. Try to get a little bit of interaction if I can, but again, there's a lot of stuff that maybe you haven't thought about. So that, as we're working through our James, we got these two are apostles, James, son of Zebedee, James, son of Alphaeus. If you notice in Mark 15, it mentioned James the Less, Mary, mother of James the Less. Now that... Over here in John 19:25, it says Mary, wife of Clopas. It's probably the same Mary. Now, a lot of people will assert that Clopas is a rendition of Alphaeus. I just can't quite say that that's what that is. Because what people will try to claim is that James the Less is James, son of Alphaeus. And it would, I guess it kind of makes sense a little bit if you think about trying to specify, James the Lesser of the two apostles, and it does have it as a title, and that's why John has a capital L, James the Less, capital L. But again, I can't say that with absolute certainty, that James the Less is James, son of Alphaeus, although a lot of people will try to put that on there. What I have noticed is that there's a lot of confusion when it comes to names, though. So I don't want to spend too much time on that. I just want to show you some things that might come up. James, son of Alphaeus, I'm going to take him off of the list because there's not really too much written about him either. So it doesn't seem, whoever wrote the book of James was somebody who is highly esteemed in a lot of ways. And I'm sure that James, son of Alphaeus, was. But we'll kind of look at it. It makes more sense that James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this. So, our last person is going to be brother of Jesus or half-brother of Jesus. Does anybody have the answer why we refer to James as the half-brother of Jesus? This is an easy one. This is me trying to get it. Any hands?
Different dads.
Okay. That's the easy one. That's how I'm going to get you guys interacting. Okay. Different dads. Really easy. Right? Why is that? Well, Mary was a virgin, and the Holy Spirit, that was Jesus' dad, right? So Jesus' genetics would just be Mary, right? Then we have James, and he's going to have genetics of Mary, but also genetics of Joseph. We kind of already covered last week that, well, it makes sense that they would name their oldest biological child James, which is a rendition of Jacob, because that was Joseph's dad's name. Okay, Joseph, the father of Jacob. Okay, sweet. So, why do I choose James, the brother of Jesus, to be the author now? Let's actually turn over to Jude chapter 1. And James, son of Zebedee, is there anything significant about him in the realm of the apostles? Think back to Acts chapter 12. James, son of Zebedee, is actually the guy who gets his head chopped off first. He's the first apostle to die that we have in Acts chapter 12. Herod Agrippa puts him to death by the sword. And that a lot of people place that around 44 AD, 45, maybe 45 AD. And that is one of the reasons why people will argue that James, son of Zebedee, didn't write James, the book of James. I think it's really hard to say that'd be a good reason why he didn't. But I will say that James, the book of James, if you look at a lot of the books that are written by Paul, how do a lot of them open? Paul an apostle, Paul a bondservant. You know, if you look at even Peter, I believe, he even mentions himself being an apostle of Jesus. Okay, James doesn't open with apostle. He doesn't feel the need to say that, right? Well, that's because he wasn't an apostle of Jesus if he was the brother of Jesus. But if he was James, son of Alphaeus, or James, son of Zebedee, he'd be an apostle. It makes sense that he would say, James, an apostle.
Yeah, it really ties in here. If you go to Acts 15, James, a very important James, obviously, starts talking, because he basically delivers the decree about, you know, holding the Gentiles to the Mosaic law. And that's clearly that James there in Acts 15 is not James apostle, because he's dead. But clearly, whoever this is, this James here, I'm sure you'll hit it in as you're going through this, he's got a lot of pull.
Yeah, really good point. We are going to touch on that, but that's a really good point. And, obviously, whoever that big James was, he was not the one that just got killed a few chapters later. James said his
ex. It makes sense that he's got that much pull. There's a good chance he wrote the book of James.
Mm-hmm. And what you see in Acts chapter 15 is that, I heard it said this way one time, is that, you know, if you have a big discussion between all these people, like in Acts chapter 15, and then, you know, everybody's kind of sorted through things, worked things out. The guy who comes up last to kind of say, okay, this is what we're deciding, the guy who has the last word in a way, he's kind of the guy, right? And James is the guy that we see at the end of all of the scuffling and the discussions, you know, James comes up, and he's the one that has the words to say on that.
And just to further, you know, make your point, as you go through the book of James, you're going to see what's the mindset of whoever is writing the book of James. It's elder mindset, clearly. Who's in James chapter 15? Clearly, it's an elder there in the church in Jerusalem. So, they fit so perfect.
Really good points, Larry. See, I like this. I like this interaction. Okay, sweet. And actually, that's why I'm going to place James, the writing of James, a little bit later. I'm not quite covering on the dating yet. A lot of people are going to try to put James, not all the people, but a lot of people are going to put James in some of the earlier writings, like mid-30s. I would never do that for a few reasons, but one of the reasons why is because at that point, he seemed like an established elder. And, at 35 AD, James is just a few years younger possibly than Jesus. I mean, he's going to be a pretty young guy still, like mid-30s. And I'll kind of cover that. So Jude chapter 1, verse 1, says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Okay, so Jude is a prominent guy, again, right? And he thinks it's significant to say, hey, I'm a brother of James. Who's another prominent James that has a brother, Jude? Well, let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, which also could be Jude. So Jesus had two brothers that were named writers of the New Testament. Yeah, I mean, he had four brothers. Who knows how many siblings he really had? It just said all his sisters. So I'm sure Jesus had a really big family like they did back then. And my dad grew up in a big family. There are 10 kids in his family. So he knows all about big families. So Jude is, in his writing, he's obviously a very guy that's very important. He's writing a letter. And then he says, brother of James. Who is important Jude that's brother to an important James? And this is, again, a big reason why I think they're pointing back to, and then you notice they don't mention brother of Jesus. Because, again, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at a verse in a second, but who is my brother and my mother? Those who are in the kingdom of God, really. Amen? That's what really matters at the end of the day. And that's what was really important, because one of the things about James in his early life is that he didn't believe in Jesus. Actually, his brothers didn't believe in him. He didn't believe in him. And you can imagine the heartache of seeing, James and looking at his big brother Jesus, who, man, he's a special one. Mom always treats him different. Now, I don't know if she's a good mom, probably. But, James, he sees what his brother went through. At times, they're trying to help their brother. Like, dude, what are you doing? You're out of your mind. And then James sees Jesus die. Doesn't look like he's a follower. And the reason why is because, Jesus is, he's telling, hey, I want my mom to be with John, right? Jesus wanted his mother to go and to be with John. Well, that's because John was an actual follower, right? James probably wasn't a follower at the time even of the crucifixion. He wasn't a believer. But I guarantee he was a believer, because 1 Corinthians 15, the statement is actually made that Jesus appeared to, all the apostles, then to James. So it seems like Jesus went through all of that, resurrected, and then he appears to James. I bet James believes at that point.
And doesn't that show amazing character? to be able to step back and self-analyze, not making an excuse and say, well, yeah, that Jesus, you know, well, that didn't happen, you know, not to actually, I just think it shows, yeah, amazing character in that, and you see that character, you know, exhibited in the book of James, you know, to step back, to see who Jesus is, say, okay, yeah, I am going to serve you. And so it shows the power of the gospel, the power of the new creation.
Absolutely.
One thing, too, as you're reading through the four Gospels, Jesus makes it very clear that he's Son of God, you know, and not son of Joseph. And I'm sure his brothers kind of picked up on that, and I know his mom knew that.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, you had a statement?
Just want to take a step back on the five James you have up there. Do you think there's any correlation that you can prove one way or the other that James the Less is the brother of Jesus?
I would love to hear your passage because I have looked at that. What is it?
Okay, you were just in Matthew 20 or 1355, right?
Mm-hmm. Mark 6:3. So Matthew 13:55 and Mark 6:3.
My personal opinions are one and the same.
I'll look back at that, and that's one of the things I.
Not a trap.
No. And Mary of Clopas could also be potentially daughter as well. But I know, so there is, again, like I said, I can't prove it one way or the other, but I'll look into that. And
I think I agree with you on the Marys there. But when I look at all the passages that have to do with James, in the Gospels, it seems like with Matthew's passage in 13 and Mark's in 6, it seems like they're one.
And that's what I want to open this up to discussion because I'm not set on one way or the other, and so I appreciate feedback. Kevin is, so that gives me more reason to look into it.
It's a great point. I appreciate Kevin's point. And maybe we can answer this question. It still kind of begs the question, why did he pass Mary off to John?
Other comments, questions? Okay, I forgot where I was at. Yeah, I need y'all to help me out. Oh, yeah, we're talking about James. No, I appreciate that. So, okay, yeah, we're talking about James. He was not a follower while Jesus was on his earthly ministry. So, let's turn on over to... Wow, time flies by fast. Yeah, let's just go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and let's just read verses 1 through 5. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Feast of Booths was near. Therefore his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go into Judea, so your disciples may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers were believing in him. So again, we see here, Jesus... He's doing all these works, and they're upset with him, and they're saying, I mean, there's even the hint of sarcasm, I think, in verse 4. It says, if you do these things, show yourself to the world. And then John follows that up in verse 5, and he says, hey, his brother, they said that because their brothers didn't believe in him. Jesus' own brothers didn't believe in him. I think there's something that's interesting about that, right? or some of your closest people that, you know, you grew up around that maybe know your past or, you know, different things, they tend not to believe you. Right? Obviously, Jesus was perfect. They got to see his perfect life laid out. But it's still just interesting that, you know, there's still this lack of belief. So this is kind of where we're going to drop off for this week. But next week, we're going to actually talk, we're going to continue this thought of talking about James. And we're going to kind of talk about elders and bondservants. So I want you to kind of think about that and then come next week with maybe the thought of what does it mean to be a bondservant of Christ?